Divided Kingdom, the evening news program from a Christian viewpoint. This is Lou Caverly. Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly and I will be looking at events crucial to you listeners of The Remnant on WWCR and the Liberty Works Radio Network. Hear us on 4.840 MHz, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, you can hear us on an iPhone app or otherwise at lwrn.net. Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, repeating at 11 p.m. Visit their website, lwrn.net, to see listings for more of our archival programs.
Lou, now the forces, the two faces of satanic darkness, radical Islam and the Freemasonic Jesuit Illuminati, are beginning to show their alliance, and they're out in the open. Lou and I watched a video we had never seen, though we had acquired it at least 10 years ago from the Prophecy Club. And I'm looking also, as I'm speaking, at a picture of a very scary woman and a headline, Church Apologizes for Hosting Satanic Fashion Show. And let me tell you about that first. This was dated September 21st, 2017. London allowed its sanctuary to be used for a fashion show at St. Andrew's Church that effectively became a black mass involving a number of Masonic and Satanic symbols and images. The show's designer, Dallara Findlay-Coglu, is alleged to have been heavily influenced by the Illuminati. A London area church has reportedly issued an apology for allowing its altar to be used as a fashion runway for a show that effectively became a black mass as part of London Fashion Week. St. Andrew's Church in Holborn received criticism after Turkish designer Dallara Findlay-Coglu's spring-summer 2018 collection debuted inside its sanctuary Monday night. The altar was covered with an assortment of Masonic-inspired imagery, including the all-seeing eye inside a hexagram, square, and compass, and a runway with a checkerboard pattern. The show also involved models wearing outfits representing vampires and satanic demons. Some openly wore satanic symbols on their foreheads. The church's apology stated, "The parish of St. Andrews has always supported London Fashion Week. We took this booking in good faith and were not aware of the content or design before the show took place. This was obviously a mistake, and the content of this show does not reflect the Christian faith of the church. We will be looking at our booking processes going forward to ensure that this does not happen again." Findlay-Coglu is considered an up-and-comer in the fashion industry, and as a result is alleged to have been substantially influenced by the Illuminati. Among her biggest fans are musicians and other artists who also reportedly have Illuminati connections. All is not what it seems, and that article did come from TrueNews.com. All is not as it seems, and it hasn't been what it seemed for a long time. And again, we are telling you that we were watching an older video because our lives were always tumultuous. We've had many satanic attacks on our money, on our health, because God Almighty knew when I stood in Lou Caverly's apartment years ago when I looked at his books, his history books, his Sandberg story of Lincoln, when I looked at those books and the golden light just permeated around the books and a wonderful feeling of peace came into my heart, and it was like almost seeing the words on a stone tablet. This is your destiny. God Almighty knew that he would have us a small voice compared to Alex Jones, but a worthy voice, we hope. We want to please the Lord, not mankind. We aren't going to have the number of people that Joel Osteen has in his perhaps 20,000-seat church. We never will, because we are not hooking up with the world. We can't. God has separated us, and we give thanks for Global Star Communications, a wonderful person there who has produced our program from summer of 2011 right to the present time. So what we're saying is we have important information for you, the remnant, very important. So we finally got to see this video of Deborah Ray, and it was called ABCs of Globalism. This is one of the absolutely finest presentations of the total aspects and players of the New World Order that we've ever seen. And we urge those of you who want to synthesize and truly understand what remnant Christians face today to get this DVD, because now it is on a DVD setup. It has a striking ending when Deborah herself reveals her personal courage and her absolute faith in Jesus' ability to give her a miracle as her husband lay dying. We can never forget the ending of that DVD. Probably this is the best thing that ever came out of the Prophecy Club. We don't endorse all of their DVDs and videos, but we know that God wants us to search for what is right and good. And so God led me to make a telephone call to the Prophecy Club. I hadn't talked to anyone there in a number of years, but you want to get a pen, because I think perhaps a few of you will be very much interested in an offer. I got to talk with Sean Johnson, the son of Stan Johnson, and we had a lovely talk in which I actually invited Sean to come on to give his life witness. And he's a very sincere young man and with no pretensions. He said, well, I never had anyone ask me that before. I'll pray about it. So I hope he does. Now, if you have a pen ready, you want to write down the telephone number for the Prophecy Club. It is 785-266-1112. And again, that number is 785-266-1112. In other words, that's 1112. I talked with Sean, and I asked him whether it would be possible to get one of their very best offers, because a couple years ago, I think in 2015, Lou and I did this. It was a summer special, 10 DVDs for $100, and that's quite a good bargain. And within that, we were able to get Leslie Johnson's new series, wonderful, wonderful series, on the apostasies of the present church. Very authoritative undertaking. And because there's so much information in it, Lou and I have only begun to watch one of them. But we can see that they're very, very important to anyone who wants to go into depth on this. So at any rate, Sean said we could do this. And now I'm going to tell you what the 10 DVDs are that I selected personally out of what Lou and I had bought over the years from the Prophecy Club that I thought were the very, very best, the hardest hitting, cutting edge. And of course, you can call that number if you decide to order. And Sean said you'll only pay a flat $5 shipping rate, which I thought was really great for 10 DVDs. And that telephone number again to the Prophecy Club is 785-266-1112. Now, these are the DVDs that I selected. Standing for the Lord by Christine Vieck. This one we have not seen yet, but a listener previewed it, and he said it was just wonderful. This is the lady who stood up in Congress against what was going on and witnessed for the Lord. The second one is Planned Population Reduction by Dr. Stan Monteith. There's no better description of what the elite have to harm all of us and how it all originated than this DVD. We always joke because Lou was always tired and bored by the end of a Prophecy Club video because they were 2.5 hours long. And he would say, well, couldn't we break this into two parts at least? But during this DVD, it is now, of Dr. Stan, he was riveted. He never once said, gee, can't we wait? Oh, no. So, you know, that's a high recommendation from Lou. Number three is The Imminent Military Takeover of the USA by Colonel Jim Ammerman, the late wonderful chaplain of the Army, and that was what woke Lou and me up. A lot of information in there, still very, very good. The next one is Conspiracies Exposed by Ted Gunderson. Now, I'm going to interrupt to say you don't need to be writing all this down. If you call, you just ask for the Divided Kingdom special of the 10 DVDs for $100. And they will know what they are because Sean got all the info from me. So number four was Conspiracies Exposed by Ted Gunderson. You know that the story is that he was murdered because he came up against the Satanists. He came up against the pedophile network, that terrible network that was exposed in a Franklin cover-up by a senator at that time, a decade or two back. And, of course, they told the story of Boys Town, how the Jets left Washington, D.C., and all the congressmen waited for those wonderful little boys to be brought, all those little pieces that they could devour and harm and ruin. As long as I have breath, I'm going to talk about this. And Boys Town can keep sending me all these packets to my name, which they're doing. I don't know whether this is the New World Order laughing, but they won't laugh forever because God Almighty will judge them. He will judge, and if they don't repent, I would not want to be in their place. Number five is A Kundalini Spirit. This is very good, too. The laughter and all the things, the holy laughter in the churches. Next one is New Age. I couldn't read my writing. Bible versions. This is excellent by Dr. Gail Ripplinger. Seven is the ABCs of globalism. The one we're telling you is so good. Eight is Go Save the Pygmies. Dr. Bree Keaton was told by the Lord to go to Africa and save the little people. Wonderful, wonderful DVD that you'll never see anything quite like this. And then there's another one, The Storm, Judgment, and Revival by Shane Warren. We know that we have to put a disclaimer on any of these prophetic videos and DVDs. The Bible does talk about visions and dreams, and we aren't saying that everyone who's telling you there will be a tsunami on the East Coast is correct. Only God knows. But what I like about this DVD is that what he saw was a possibility there of revival. You see, repentance and revival and the saving of America. And I think then there is one more, and that is from William Federer, The Origin of the Great Awakening. Again, we want to promote the idea of repentance and revival. So if some of you are interested, and I hope that some of you will be, we do not get anything back from this except the satisfaction of knowing more minds and hearts are learning more about the evil that threatens us. You can call the Prophecy Club at 785-266-1112. And one last time, that number is 785-266-1112, and just ask for the Divided Kingdom special, and then you put the $5 shipping on. And I'm sure they could work it out that you could send a check so that you don't have to use a credit card if you don't have it. Back to Lou.
Satan provides the decoys of the NFL scandal, the Berkeley cancellation of the free speech rights of speakers, David Horowitz and Milo Yiannopoulos, the TV late-night battering and ridicule of our president, and the viciously determined NWO deep state agenda to provoke civil war by overwhelming all public media with the George Soros-financed Black Lives Matter brainwashing, demonizing white police and white people while distorting the members of black or the numbers of blacks killed by whites.
And that's not all. We must bring you the story of what happened in the church in Tennessee, the Tennessee church shooting. It's very, very important, and it was a little hard to find this. See, the media wants us to disappear, Lou.
In fact, if you go to Fox News, you will find something I couldn't get because it's not a printed matter. You can see a little video. In fact, as little as 2 hours ago, I saw it. That is to say, I didn't have the time to actually watch it But it was saying, are they covering up this whole story? And I wish I could get a printed matter on this, but there wasn't any printed portion available. But I think the answer is yes, they probably are covering up this. But at least the Washington Post did have this article in it, September 26th. This is by Tim Craig, entitled Wounded Minister in Tennessee Church Describes Shooting Chaos. Nashville. The minister heard gunshots in the parking lot and saw a man wearing a freaky mask walking briskly into his tiny church. The only thing the minister could find to defend himself from the faceless intruder was a plastic container. Joyce Bond, the 66-year-old minister of Burnett Chapel, Church of Christ, threw the container in a last-ditch effort to protect about 50 parishioners, but the gunman simply swatted it away. The first bullets whizzed past the preacher's ear. Then, as the intruder moved within inches of Spawn, the minister raised his left hand. A bullet sliced through his left index finger and slammed into his chest. He fell to the ground, not far from where his 65-year-old wife, who had been shot in the thigh, was lying. Quote, she cried out, yelling my name, Spawn recalled Tuesday. Spawn said he grabbed his chest wound and began losing consciousness as he called out to his wife. Honey, he said, he's killed me. I am dying and I'm sorry. Spawn offered his gripping account of the shooting, which left one parishioner dead and six wounded, during a 30-minute news conference at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Authorities have not said what motivated the gunman to execute the shooting. Emmanuel K. Sampson, who used to attend the church, has been charged with murder. The shooting has shaken this relatively diverse pocket of Nashville, a community now fearful that Sampson's attack on a predominantly white church could disturb a sense of racial harmony here. Sampson, 25, is a native of Sudan, but resettled in the United States in 1996. Nashville police and federal authorities haven't publicly identified a motive for the attack, but the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nashville has launched a civil rights investigation, and federal authorities have opened a hate crime investigation.
Oh, no, no. We can't call it Allah Akbar. We can't call it what it is. We can't call it Islamic invasion. Dawah going hot. No, we've got to call it a hate crime.
The church is in Antioch, a Nashville community that is relatively rural, but increasingly diverse amid a surge of new single-family houses and apartment complexes. And though most residents here vow they will not allow Samson's actions to divide them, there are signs some of that unity has already been undercut. Shortly before a vigil for the victims Monday night, B. Spain, 91, said she is now more hesitant to embrace the new arrivals in her community. Quote, us older people could see the way the demographics were moving and where it would eventually lead, said Spain, who is white. Her friend, Patricia Harris, 76, agreed, quote, I love and pray for them, but I don't trust them. Harris, who is black, said of immigrants, quote, they will grin in your face and move in your neighborhood and pretend to love you, and then something like this happens, unquote. Spawn said he doubts that Swanson targeted his former congregation because of race or politics. Although it's a predominantly white congregation, the church is the spiritual home of several interracial couples, parishioners noted. But the shooting has stung Nashville's vibrant immigrant community, including about 5,000 refugees from Sudan who have settled in the area. In recent years, in part due to the welcoming reputation of its churches, Nashville has also seen an influx of Kurdish, Somali, Burmese, and Congolese refugees, said Gatlock Thatch, executive director of the Nashville International Center for Empowerment, which helps newly arrived refugees. While Nashville's faith community and political leadership have a long history of welcoming immigrants, the city struggles with many of the same cultural debates that have driven a wedge between residents and other areas of the country. In January, for example, Nashville's Metro Council withdrew a proposal to restrict local cooperation with federal immigration officials due to statewide opposition. Thatch, who is also Sudanese, says he worries Sampson's actions will harden some residents' skepticism about his community. It's not only fear about what will happen to you, but as a resident here, it's sadness about what he did to all those people who opened their doors, opened their homes, and opened their houses of worship for you, said Gadlock, who noted most local Sudanese are Christians drawn here partly because of its reputation as having a strong Christian identity. According to Spahn, his church sponsored residents from Sudan several years ago, but he could not recall whether Sampson was one of them. Several parishioners said that Sampson regularly attended the church about 2 years ago. Without a clear motive, some residents are also leaping to their own conclusions about the gunman's motive. Tommy Goad, who lives across the street from the church, noted the gunshot victims were all over the age of 60. Goad, a former security guard and bounty hunter, said he believes the only reason Sampson previously attended the church was to scout out potential victims. Quote, "Everyone is saying don't jump to conclusions, and he was a nice guy, but I think it was planned," Goad said. He knew what he was doing and picked out a place he knew where everybody was elderly and didn't expect to encounter anyone who was armed, unquote. After Sampson shot Spahn and the other parishioners, another man inside the church, Robert Caleb Engel, confronted him. As the two men struggled, police said, Sampson's gun went off, hitting him in the chest, and he fell to the floor. Engel then retrieved his own handgun and stood over Sampson until police arrived. Spahn said Engel's actions likely prevented Sampson from reaching a side room in the church where youth Bible study classes were underway. Quote, "He was reloading and he was going to kill everybody there," Spahn said. His congregation began the recovery process Tuesday, with workers in yellow hazmat suits arriving to begin the cleanup behind the church's shattered glass door. Quote, "Of all places, a little church like Burnett Chapel. Why?" Spahn asked. "There were no enemies and no hostilities held toward anyone. It's just hard to figure out why." And Julie Tate and Mark Berman contributed to that report.
Afterward, we had an article by Fox News, "Preaching Security After Deadly Tennessee Church Shooting." And this was September 27th. And the AP said, "When a masked gunman killed a woman and wounded six people at a Tennessee church last weekend, it drew national attention, as did the 2015 massacre of nine black church members in Charleston, South Carolina, the 2014 slayings of three people at a Kansas Jewish center and retirement home, and the 2012 killings of six at a Wisconsin Sikh temple. These high-profile cases make headlines, but they reflect a jarring reality. Violence in church isn't unusual. It's a major reason why pastors, rabbis, imams, and other religious leaders turn to consultants to make their members less vulnerable." And you note that in Lou's recounting of that past article that you heard, the well-meaning pastor had been part of a church that invited people in from the Sudan, supposedly Christians. But, you know, the Bible tells us we're to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. To be bringing in people from that area asks for trouble. It asks for imposters. And even in this area of getting the consultants, now we have the imposters, because we have these so-called experts on terrorism and on shooting. And guess what this article from Fox says? Florida Sheriff's Deputy Nizar Hamzi quotes Islamic teachings allowing self-defense. He's one of the consultants, you see. And they talk about some others who are connected with synagogues and so forth. So you see, they're taking care of terrorism in all houses of worship. Hamzy takes his message directly to Florida's Muslims. On a recent Friday night, he peppered 20 men at a Lake Worth mosque with questions about what they would do if a shooter invaded. Would they run? Besides the entrance, there's only one direct exit outside, and it's in a shooter's line of sight. Fight? There are a few weapons. There aren't even many chairs, as worshippers sit on the floor, etc., etc., etc. And he said that his biggest hurdle is that many U.S. Muslims are foreign-born and fear contacting government agencies. If Lou was sitting in his chair again, as he will be in a minute, I'd ask him to start playing his violin, and you'd hear sympathy for the Muslims. That's what we're going to have as Fox News Network changes. Will Sean Hannity be there very long? We don't know. But Hamzy, remember, he's not just a bystander out on the street in Florida. He's a Florida sheriff's deputy. We've got the fox in the hen house. We've got to have Dawah. Oh, those of you who never did get Islam Rising, if it's still available at the late Carol Matriciana's website, CARYLTV.com, you really should buy this. It would open your eyes as to what's starting here in America. And the trickery, the treachery, the lies of Dawah. So anyway, Hamzy says, we need to get out of this prayer victim mentality. And he's a Michigan native whose appearances are organized by the Council on American Islamic Relations. That's CAIR. Lou, make the ding ding.
Ding ding ding.
Yep, this is danger. This is trouble. The David Horowitz Freedom Center that watches over a lot of things. And again, Lou went to find something on the internet. I said, look for Jihad Watch or Jihadi Watch. You can't get that. We're having a lot of our things removed that we can't get from InfoWars, etc. No, we're under attack. Our freedoms are under attack. But David Horowitz's little book on all of these organizations in America, they're really part in large of the Muslim Brotherhood, and CAIR, C-A-I-R, was a big one. This is an organization to help legitimize and hide the true intent of the Quran, which is to kill the infidels. That's what it is. So we are not sugarcoating any of this when we bring it to you. We're going to tell it as it really is. And we do hope that you will call up the Prophecy Club. I'm going to give you that number one more time, 785-266-1112, 785-266-1112, and ask for the Divided Kingdom Special, 10 videos, DVDs rather, for $100 and $5 shipping. On that wonderful DVD of Deborah Ray's, it was before all of this Islamic invasion due to George Soros and Peter Sutherland of the UN's backing and attempts. It was before that. But everything that Deborah Ray says, she mentions Hillary. There are many, many things that are just as right on now as when she made it. I can't recommend it enough. And she sort of predicted this thing with Islam in a way. She was talking about Abraham, and we all know the story of Isaac and how Abraham was to wait for God to give him the son. But Abraham and Sarah could not really wait. And so we had the birth of Ishmael. And I don't know whether Lou can remember this. We didn't look it up in the Bible where it is, but my memory is paraphrasing that Deborah Ray said something to the effect that the Bible says of Ishmael that he was an ass who was always fighting.
Yes, a wild man, sort of, was the connotation. I assume that's in Genesis when the birth of Ishmael is first mentioned, because I don't think he's mentioned a great deal later in the Bible. And, yes, the story was that I think it was Sarah told Abraham to get the handmaiden, and that was how Ishmael was born.
So Deborah gave her personal experience of meeting a lot of Islamic people. people who were deeply into the Quran, and how they all had dead eyes, and how this thing, you see, has a spiritual quotient to it, and this is what makes it completely anti-Christian, completely anti-Orthodox believing Jews, believing in the Old Testament. We don't promote the Talmud here. We don't think that that's that great parts of it. Maybe some of the rabbis have been sucked into. It's like the emerging church figures here, like Rick Warren and all of the others. They're kind of into something that's more like a New Age. So the Talmud, you see, not the Torah, is something that wasn't put out there by God. That's not God's word. So some of the people who want to promote the Jew hatred never make that distinction, that there are some Jewish people who follow only the Torah and really aren't into things of the Talmud. But we now must move to see what is really going on with these Muslims. There's some other late news from Europe. Brussels, and now, interestingly, this occurred, this article was printed on September 11th, and I find that rather ironic and striking, the day that America changed because of this agenda which used the Arab Muslim terrorists to change America and take away our freedoms with the Patriot Act. So this was the Washington Post, the latest. Afghan migrant admits rape, killing in Germany. And this was out of Brussels. And so in a nutshell, this story told about an Afghan migrant admitting raping and killing a 19-year-old medical student and then apologizing to the victim's family. And according to the DPA news agency, Hussein K., yes, his last name was not revealed due to German privacy laws, and he testified in the Freiburg State Court that he'd been drinking and using drugs in October 2016 on the day that this young lady passed him on a bicycle. And the defendant, K., said he grabbed her from the bicycle, and then, no doubt, he beat her hard, for he testified that he raped her and then put her unconscious into a river. She drowned. And it's also interesting to note, you see, that in German courts, pleas of defendants aren't entered. So there are lots of confessions instead. And these confessions can lessen the sentences, and this is so, this is something that they can use to help the defendants. And this defendant, Kay, first came to Germany in 2015, and he claimed that he was 18 at the time of this crime when he instigated the girl's death, but the prosecutors say he was 22. And if he was 18, you see, he could get a 15-year youth sentence, and at age 22, he'd have an adult life sentence. The head of the European Union's border agency claims that the number of migrants arriving in Europe through Spain has more than doubled this year. And in early September 2017, the news from Frontex director Fabrice Leggeri was that we, quote, have registered almost 14,000 arrivals in Spain, arriving from Morocco, from the western part of the Maghreb. And Leggeri explained that, quote, it means that the figures were multiplied by more than 2.5 this year. And listeners, that was compared to the same January-August period of last year. And Leggeri revealed that most of the influx was comprised of Moroccan nationals. And he said that the numbers of emigres to Europe from Libya through the central Mediterranean have lessened. Well, what else is going on? There's something here that's very, very interesting. That Lou has next, I believe, we're back to America. Oh, yes, this isn't just Europe. Ann Corcoran, and she's the one who began to see things changing in Virginia when a lot of these religious groups, Your Lutheran Church, My Lutheran Church, no, it isn't My Lutheran Church, all of these different kinds of organizations were bringing in the Muslims. That she has a couple good articles here, and what's going on now here in the U.S.?
Entitled, Arizona, Rohingya, a refugee story from poor refugee to political agitator. If you don't know about the Rohingya, you'd better learn quickly. This article from the Phoenix New Times features a 25-year-old Rohingya Muslim refugee living in Phoenix who wants to get his mother and 10 siblings here. But put that mean old Donald Trump. A few things you need to know before reading this story, which the left-wing media will never tell you. First, the Buddhist government contends that the Rohingya are not some special group, but are illegal aliens from Bangladesh, a Muslim country, who decades ago illegally arrived in Burma. The Burmese leaders want the country to remain Buddhist and don't want to be demographically conquered by Muslims. And here we have a name, I'll do the best I can to pronounce it, Aung San Suu Kyi, the famous Burmese freedom fighter, has not rallied to the Rohingya's cause, which infuriates the left. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation is trying to get its foot in the door in Burma to defend their people and agitate against the government. The round of violence that began in 2012, often cited by the mainstream media, was ignited when a gang of Muslim men raped and murdered a Burmese Buddhist girl, something the media never tells you now. And the Buddhists retaliated. As we learned here, the newest wave of violence was from a Burmese military response to attacks by a Rohingya armed group. Now to the political agitators at Arizona State. Here is what I want to know. If they are, quote, ethnic cleansing, unquote, in Burma, that is, Myanmar, why is that our problem? Why is that a reason to spend billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars bringing people like Islam here, apparently not to add much to American society, but to politically organize for Muslims back home? BTW, Trump will be supplying more Rohingya activists from mosques and Islamic centers when the first Australian rejects get here. From the Phoenix New Times, a new cause, not the Syrian Muslim victims, it was oh so last year, but Rohingya. Here in Phoenix, the Rohingya refugees are wondering why no one seems to be paying attention. Among those trying to spread awareness about the crisis is Shirez Islam, whose own father died less than a month ago while trying to flee the country for Bangladesh. His family lost their home, their land, and everything they own, he says. And convincing Americans to care, when they may or not even be able to point to Myanmar on a map, is a challenge. He says, quote, most people, they don't know who the Rohingya are. When we talk to people, we explain that we are an ethnic minority and the government, that is of Myanmar, denied us our citizenship. We'd like to live in our own country, but unfortunately, we had to leave because we are Rohingya. Aung San Suu Kyi is not sure she wants the Obama smooch. This is a picture, by the way, showing this lady and President Obama leaning over as if he's going to kiss her, and she's kind of shying away. You can imagine how angry the left is with Suu Kyi. She is one of them, they think. So how can she not be coming to the defense of Muslims? And Shirez Islam is one of roughly 600 Rohingya refugees currently living in the valley. They make up less than a quarter of the total number of Burmese refugees who have been resettled in Arizona since 2001. Most are Muslims and arrived after 2012 when attacks on the Rohingya intensified after decades of discrimination. After landing in a refugee camp in Sri Lanka, he applied for asylum through the United Nations. The U.S. State Department approved his application, and a little less than 6 years ago, he arrived in Arizona. The Lutheran Social Services helped get him set up with a job and apartment, and taught him how to turn the lights on and off. He'd never had electricity before. He explains, quote, we don't have these kind of things back in our country. They came and they guided us how to use the oven, how to use the microwave, how to use the bathroom, unquote. Here we go. Rally organized by Islamic community centers. What a surprise. On Sunday night, he and other Rohingya refugees held a vigil on the old main lawn at Arizona State University. organized by the Islamic Community Center of Tempe and Islamic Center of the Northeast Valley. It drew a diverse crowd of student activists, local faith leaders, and refugees from around the world. They held up signs calling in Aung San Suu Kyi, the country's de facto leader, and ironically, a former winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, to put an end to the violence against the Rohingya. And there are many other things she says in her website, so if you're interested in that, just check out Ann Cochran, her website. If you do a little search for Ann Cochran, you'll find it.
What happened next is pretty interesting because, again, we see what this refugee group did in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, Muslim refugee charged with inappropriate sexual contact with several young girls. And this was posted September 21st, 2017 by Ann Cochran. The Muslim refugee, Mohammed Rafika, is described as a man who arrived from Myanmar 2 years ago.
I must correct her name. Corcoran is her name, Lou.
Okay. Yes, Ann Cochran. And I should mention Myanmar is the modern name for the country that was once called Burma. So that's used interchangeably here. So this man, Mohammed Rafik, that would make him one of the 19,000-plus Rohingya refugees we've admitted from Burma, a.k.a. Myanmar, in the last 10 years. We love diversity. Nashua Mayor, and this is a picture, Nashua Mayor Jim Donches proposed a resolution last year to make Nashua a, quote, welcoming city, unquote. Prosecutors wanted a $50,000 bond, but the judge set the bail at $15,000. If he gets out, will he return to court or disappear into the woodwork of America, like so many of the Muslim refugees charged in a variety of assault cases in recent years? News from WMUR-TV, Channel 9, in Manchester, New Hampshire. A Nashua man is facing accusations that he had inappropriate contact with several young girls. Mohammed Rafik is facing 6 charges, including 2 counts of felonious sexual assault. Nashua police said that the incident happened in late August and involves 4 girls, including a 7-year-old. Prosecutor Don Topham said, quote, "We are alleging these offenses have had a great and substantial effect on both them and their parents," unquote. Rafik was described in court as a refugee from Myanmar who has lived in Nashua for 2 years. An interpreter was provided by phone. Authorities said the charges involved inappropriate touching and happened at some sort of gathering. Quote, "Through the investigation, we learned that he was acquainted with one girl's family," said Lieutenant Carrie Baxter. Baxter went on to say he'd attempted to offer them money and gifts and things like that to get one or more of the girls back to his house. And the author of the story says, "The way things are going on at the federal level, if you are concerned about what is happening where you live, you're going to have to get busy booting mayors like Donchest from office."
We have so much news that we can hardly get it all out to you tonight. It's so important about what's going on in North Korea. And we have 2 viewpoints. We have General McMaster saying the U.S. cannot discount the possibility of war with North Korea. And there was an article there at the Washington Times, Monday, September 25th. We all know it's very serious. But there are 2 different viewpoints. We have the viewpoint of Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And Joel, I believe, was a Marine captain, and he has been following the New World Order since the time of our late friend, Dr. Stan Monteith. I remember in about the year 2004, he came on, and he thought the elite globalists would want to bring on World War III probably in about a decade. So it's interesting. He has always tracked these wars that, like the illegal war in Iraq, that these were the globalists doing these wars for their social engineering purposes. But this time, Joel Skousen says, this is real in North Korea. So we have that. Then we have Dr. Ron Paul, who was very recently on the Alex Jones program, and he had a whole different take. He said he remembered in the Korean War, he was in high school, and some of his teachers were called to it, and they never returned. And, of course, he, too, knows about all of the globalists and their wars, their long-running wars. And he claims that this is just the neocons doing what they have been doing, that we know some of those same people, Condoleezza Rice, they're still there doing the machinations of Obama in the State Department. And he claims that what we should do, we shouldn't have all these troops at the 120 countries around the world being the big global policemen. We should just bring them home and everything will be all right. Bring them out of Korea. The fact that we wouldn't have to kill all these people in the DMZ. And so now, is he just a weak Neville Chamberlain? Is this like that time when Neville Chamberlain pacified Hitler, he thought, and he thought he would never invade? We are dealing with a madman in North Korea. But also, we have to know that Dr. Ron Paul had many years of expertise in Congress, and he claimed that our government has prevented any kind of diplomatic talks between South Korea and North Korea. Can that be true? If that is true, we have to, again, widen our awareness and really question, what is going on? Is this another aspect of the military-industrial war complex? I hope and pray not. And Lou is now going to make a prayer that we made standing out on our back porch the other day, and the wind came whistling in a way that we know is the Holy Spirit. We ask God to foil this in a way that wouldn't kill all of those people in the Koreas and that wouldn't give the globalists due power, and it would perhaps God would remove Kim Jong-il. We don't know. Kim Jong-un. Lou, would you make a prayer?
Let's all pray together. Almighty God, we just pray that somehow, as only you can do it, this whole matter will come to a peaceful conclusion. It does seem like the leader of North Korea is a madman, but nevertheless, maybe he also is susceptible to some common sense and should realize that he can only lose if war comes. We pray that he will have that insight. We pray that if there are leaders back here in the USA that want the war and are willing to do almost anything to get it, they will be thwarted too. This is a very difficult situation, O Lord, and only you know the whole truth behind it. So we just ask that you will exercise your authority. We just put this in your hands and ask that you will bring about a peace of some kind without the killing of thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, perhaps millions of people in the Korean Peninsula, both sides. And we just pray somehow that this whole matter will be resolved peacefully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we can trust the Lord without a doubt. The truth is coming out. The National Enquirer has been vindicated. Its story way back on March 27th of 2017, the front cover said, proof, Obama wiretapped Trump, lies, leaks, and illegal bugging. Yes, perhaps that story was mocked at that time, but we know that it's true. The WikiLeaks have shown us, and the Democrats are going to do everything they can, the radical leftist Democrats, hooked up with the Muslim leftists, Linda Sarsour, everybody sort of worshiping her in the women's leftist right to abortion movement. And there she is with a mother who's instrumental in promoting the genital mutilation of women. How can women be that stupid? But you see, when we're given over to the reprobate mind, when we think it's all right to kill babies, when we think it's all right to have same-sex relations, our minds, the Bible says, are given over. And so we have all this fight now going on between those who are Christian and love liberty and those who want to do the political correctness, which is just a type of tyranny. So Fox News says that the Department of Justice will enter legal struggle over free speech on campus by Brooke Singman, September 26th. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said Tuesday that his Justice Department will enter the legal fight over free speech on college campuses as he delivered a blistering speech at Georgetown University Law Center declaring freedom of thought and speech is under attack. And we have to give the background again that two speeches at Berkeley were canceled, one with Milo Yiannopoulos and one with David Horowitz. And the protesters, everything was really in disorder. And so their voices, you see, are silenced. We can't talk about Islam. We can't talk about things that are going to be, quote, politically correct. Horowitz, who ironically once was a leftist back in the 60s, he said now that our universities are taken over. They're gone. So Jeff Sessions said, starting today, the Department of Justice will do its part in this struggle. We will enforce federal law, defend free speech, and protect students' free expression from whatever end of the political spectrum it may come, Sessions told an audience of Georgetown students. During his remarks at Georgetown's Constitution Center, the Justice Department simultaneously filed a statement of interest in a free speech case siding with students who said their rights were limited. And the case cited Tuesday was filed initially by students at Georgia Gwinnett College to challenge a policy limiting student expressive activity to two small, quote, free speech zones. The Justice Department argued that the college's speech policies were not content neutral and were not narrowly tailored to achieve a compelling government interest. A national recommitment to free speech on campus and to ensuring First Amendment rights is long overdue, Sessions said. Now, what's interesting is that ahead of his address to this group at Georgetown, a group of more than 30 Georgetown law professors signed on to a letter condemning what they called the hypocrisy of Sessions' appearance. They cited President Trump's ongoing feud with NFL players who kneeled during the anthem and other complaints about Sessions' Department of Justice. You see, here, we have to interject as divided kingdom commentators. Isn't this interesting that more than 30 Georgetown law professors signed on to such a letter? Georgetown is the premier Jesuit institution of higher learning in America. Seventh-day Adventist friends a decade ago sent us warning materials about revolutions and chaos and coups fomented by the Jesuit-slash-cultural Marxist complex. Now it looks as though their viewpoint is slowly being vindicated as it materializes. One commentator also made a lot of sense when he said what these law professors should already know is that the NFL remarks of President Trump were never, never threatening any First Amendment freedom rights. No hypocrisy. No, it was a question of private owners, like the NFL heads running their own organizations. And you see, they would permit under that whatever private ownership purview they chose. So it's not a question of the public domain of freedom of speech. So this statement, you see, lets us know that the NFL players still have responsibility. Alex Jones made a brilliant statement. He says, and I say, perhaps unwittingly, they are being used as global mercenaries. I think that's true, bringing down America. And it's important, we hope that we'll have enough time to mention on a smaller scale how Christians are under attack. Pastor Ernie Sanders is a wonderful pastor who's also on Liberty Works Radio Network. He's been a pastor for a long, long time. And in a nutshell, what's happening to him in Ohio, his longtime prison ministry is being cut off. he said Pastor Kevin and Pastor Joe and he, they had been ministering for years to people on death row. And now we have a new warden, a woman warden and her assistant. I would just bet you they're lesbians. I'm just interjecting that. We don't know. But anyway, they're being very ugly and they have stopped them from being ministers. He says, quote, when Pastor Joe, Pastor Kevin, and myself received letters from Warden Jenkins stating we had been removed from the position of ministers, the date to appeal this decision was already passed. When I called Warden Jenkins for an explanation, I was spoken to disrespectfully. Warden Jenkins did not even extend the common courtesy of taking my call. I made 5 different attempts to settle the matter by phone, and in each case was spoken to in a rude manner. And he tells about there was a death row inmate who had been deeply influenced by him, and he requested to have him there when he was put to death. But this was a denial, too. And he told that there was another pastor, Gary. Gary was the person, the name of the person who was going to be executed. And Gary told these other pastors, all of them, that Warden Jenkins was smiling when she informed him that I could not be with him at his execution. You see, Satan thinks he will win forever through these evil people that he's putting into all of our institutions throughout America. No, we must really support Judge Roy Moore. We think that Trump was very wrong in not supporting him. If you would like to help Pastor Ernie Sanders, you might want to call and complain how Pastor Ernie Sanders and his fellow clergy were cut off from helping the men on death row. Let me give you the telephone number of Governor John Kasich. That number is 614-466-3555. Again, that is 614-466-3555. And the Attorney General is Mike DeWine. There is a toll-free number for Attorney General Mike DeWine. And you might want to think about this, pray whether God wants you to stand up. That number for Attorney General Mike DeWine is 1-800-282-0515. And again, that is 1-800-282-0515. Are you, listeners, part of the Christian resistance? Are you ready to stand up for Jesus? If so, you may want to call these numbers and always speak politely and with the earnest desire to see the Lord's redeeming work continue. Again, Governor John Kasich's number is 614-466-3555. And Attorney General Mike DeWine's toll-free number is 1-800-282-0515. Also, from Pastor Ernie Sanders, there's a little warning for people who want to help. After Harvey and Irma, a lot of people were duped again. They gave over $300 million to the Red Cross, despite all those allegations of the Red Cross absconding with millions of dollars after 9/11. People forget, and we must use our time and our money wisely for the Lord. Pastor Ernie Sanders last Christmas sent out a timely reminder before your generous spirits opened your wallets, and he told the truth about some different organizations. The American Red Cross President and CEO Marcia J. Evans' salary for the year was $651,957 plus expenses. He told about Goodwill. CEO and owner Mark Curran profits $2.3 million a year. You donate to his business, and then he sells the items for profit. Ooh, that's a surprise, isn't it? UNICEF CEO Carol M. Stern receives $1,200,000 per year, plus all expenses, including a Rolls Royce. Less than 5 cents of your donated dollar goes to that cause. The United Way President Brian Gallagher gets $375,000 base salary. The March of Dimes, he says it's called that because only a dime for every $1 is given to the needy. The Salvation Army Commissioner Todd Bassett received a small salary of $13,000 per year. There's the way to go. The Ronald McDonald Houses, all monies go to running the houses for parents who have critically ill children in the hospital. 100% goes to housing and feeding the families. Keep up the work. Keep up your spirits for the Lord. Good night.